Well, happy Sabbath, everyone, and welcome to everybody online. I'd like to start with Luke 15, 11. I'm sure everyone knows it. Very common scripture. Prodigal son. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. This son wanted everything right now. And after a few days, I'm going to paraphrase here a little bit, he set off in a distant country where he had freely spent everything and he found himself in dire need. I won't go through the whole story right now, but suffice it to say that when he came to his senses, he thought, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? And here I am, dying of hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. So he got up and went back to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son. That's very noticeable. I just want you to notice that. He ran to his son. He embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. You could say he repented. I believe this father really loved his son. I believe this was pure ecstasy on the part of this father. There can be nothing more loving and joyful to a father than have his children by his side. You see, sometimes a father will give things to a child right away, like this father did, or sometimes he will allow the child to wait until they are mature enough to understand. Or maybe the father just doesn't have the means to give the child what they want. You see, I believe a mother's love is most beautiful and tender, but a father's love is essential to the well-being and upbringing of a child. Today, I want to talk about a father's love. I want to tell you a couple stories about a father's love that I had read a while ago. And hopefully you've had a father's love like one of these. There once was an old single father who raised his only daughter by selling everything he could carry. Snacks, rags, cold drinks, walking the streets every day under the sun. He never complained because every step was for her. But in school, his daughter was often bullied. She had no new phone, no fancy shoes, no stylish clothes. Her classmates laughed at her. She cried in silence. Why can't my life be normal? She often thought, unaware that her father had been saving little by little to buy her everything she wanted. Every day he set aside coins until one morning he was just one day away from completing the amount. And he saw his daughter walking to school and he ran to her and said, Sweetheart, wait just one more day and I'll... But she didn't stop. She looked back with frustration and shouted, Why is life so hard for us? As a child, haven't we thought that way too, sometimes? The father froze. His heart sank. The same day, he sold a few remaining belongings just to make up for enough money he lacked. That afternoon, the girl walked home from school. Along the road, a crowd had gathered. Her heart began to race. She squeezed through the people and saw a man lying motionless on the pavement. The clothes looked familiar. She ran closer. She dropped to her knees. It was her father. Someone nearby whispered, He was hit by a speeding car while crossing. He was carrying a bag. She burst into tears, sobbing uncontrollably, holding the bag her father still had in his hand. Inside were a brand new phone, shoes, and the exact clothes that she had always wanted. And tucked beside them was a crumpled note written in his tired handwriting. For my princess, I know that you've been hurting. I'm sorry it took so long. I hope these small things remind you that I've never stopped trying. You deserve the world. Love, your father. She clutched that note to her chest and cried like she never had before. You see, this father really loved his child. Think about your father. Do you think your father could or would have done that for you? Last November, Tom Randall gave a sermonette on marriage. And in it, he said a loving husband would defend his wife to the death. I believe a loving father would do this also for his children. And bear with me, I have another story to tell. Once upon a time, in a far-off country, there was an ancient king who was known to be simultaneously the most loving and just king who had ever existed. Eventually, it was discovered that someone was stealing from the king's treasury. And because the king was just, he issued a decree. He said that whoever was found stealing from his treasury, a sentence of 10 lashes in front of the entire kingdom would be the penalty. The theft continued. And eventually, he issued a final decree that 40 lashes would be given to the person who was guilty. You see, 40 lashes is a death sentence. As weeks went by, it was discovered that none other than the king's daughter was the one stealing from the treasury. When that was discovered, a question began to ripple through the kingdom. How could the most loving king who had ever existed kill his own daughter? Some people thought that he would pardon her, but then how would he be just? Some people thought that he would punish her, but then how would he be loving? Well, eventually, the king thought about it and said, the law is clear. Sin has taken place. Justice must fall. The sentence must be passed. And the king's daughter was brought to the front of the kingdom where she got to the front. She was laid over the executioner's table, tied to the table. The executioner ripped open the back of her shirt and stepped back. Just as the executioner lifted the whip to issue the first lash, the king stood up from his throne and yelled, "Stop!" Everyone was in dismay. Silently, the king walked forward, bent over his own daughter, wrapped his body around his daughter on a stump, ripped off the shirt of his own back, looked back to the executioner, and said, "Now hit her." The executioner objected, "King, I can't hit her without hitting you." "Now hit her," he said. As the last 40 lashes fell on the back of the king over the back of his daughter, he said to his daughter, "It is finished." And he died, and the girl went free. You see, this father really loved his children. Think about your father. Do you think your father could or would have done that for you? Well, I'm here to tell you, as we come into this Passover, this was done for us. Because God the Father is just, punishment for sin had to be paid. And because God the Father is love, God chose to make that payment himself. And here's the good news. When Jesus hung on the bloody cross, his final words through his choking breath were also the words, "It is finished." That's in John 19:30. You don't have to turn there. He used the Hebrew word tetelestai, T-E-T-E-L-E-S-T-A-I. It is finished. Tetelestai comes from the verb teleo, which means to bring to an end, to complete, to accomplish. It signifies the successful end to a particular course of action. This is what Jesus declared on the cross before he gave up his spirit. He was telling his Father and us that he had accomplished the task that he was set to do. You see, back then, after completing a task sent by the master, the servant would go back to the master and say, "Tetelestai," meaning, "I have finished what you told me to do." In John 4:34, you don't have to turn there, Jesus said, "I've come to do the will of my Father and to finish his work." The task that God gave Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb of God, would culminate in and be completed at the cross. By submitting to the Father's will, Jesus displayed ultimate servanthood. But let's go further with this. Tetelestai, translated into Greek, also means the debt is paid in full. When a Roman citizen was convicted of a crime, he would be thrown into prison. A certificate of debt would be nailed in front of the prison cell, listing the crimes he had been committed. When the prisoner had served his time, the judge who put him in prison would free him and write on the certificate of debt, "Tetelestai," We too are freed prisoners. The only difference is we could never pay that price. When we repent, Jesus paid the price on our behalf and freed us from the prison of our sins. In Romans 8:2, you don't have to turn there, just mark it down. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. This definition means that the sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin is now paid in full. Jesus paid the price. Before God, because God is a joyful or is a just and loving God, the penalty had to be paid, even if God had to pay it himself. Let's turn to Colossians 2:13. I think this is a scripture that a lot of people had problems with sometimes. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. In verse 14 it said, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements, you could say the certificate of debt, that was against us by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. The record of debt he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Let's take another look at Tetelestai. Tetelestai is also a victory cry. When Roman soldiers were victorious over their enemies, when they won a big battle, they would declare Tetelestai. They would have a big celebration of victory, but see, it was not only an expression of victory, but also of joy. On the cross, when Jesus cried out, Tetelestai, it is finished, he was not giving the last gasp of a worn-out life in defeat. He was declaring victory over Satan, sin, and death. His divine accomplishment as the Redeemer of sinners had now been completed. This is a victory cry, but because of our Father's love, it is also a shout of victory and joy for us as well. In John 17:13, you don't have to turn there. The night before Jesus died, he prayed, now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they, meaning us, might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Joy. Well, how about this for joy? Let's think about joy for a moment. Something joyful. Remember, I don't know if you, I know all of us are pretty much older. We remember what happened in New York City after World War II. There was the big parade and the confetti coming down. People were jumping for joy all over the place. They were kissing everything that moved. It was a joyful time. Or how about this for joy? I know you'll love this. Imagine watching the 5 o'clock news. The Minnesota Vikings just won the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, Packer fans. I'm sorry. I just had to say that. Talk about a joyful moment. But even more so, let's go back to the prodigal father and son in Luke 15:11. Who lovingly waited for his son to repent and to return to him. What did he do? Remember? He ran to him. Talk about a joyful moment. I say this because of what he said next. His father ordered his servants, quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and slaughter it. Let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead, and he has come to life again. I mean, can you imagine any father with their son? If their son was dead and they came back to life, that would have been a joyful moment. He was lost, and he has been found. Then the celebration began. This was a loving event. This was a joyful event. Music and dancing. This was because of the Father's great love. His son was alive again. You see, this is going to happen again, only with us. When we observe the Passover in a few days, we know it is a very somber moment. We know it's a very serious event. We know it is a memorial of Jesus' death. We also know what's in store for us now because of our Father's love. We know what a joyful event, what a victory it was, and what a loving event it will be for us, not only now, but in the future, and all because of a Father's love.